second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12, on page 2 of the New Testament portion of the Bible. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
Smells were so neat. What? Handbells. They were so neat. Thank you. This morning I want for us to think a little bit about after Bethlehem. What happened after Bethlehem? The passage before us this morning says that the wise men went home by another way. Mary and Joseph did not return to Nazareth. They returned to Egypt. They fled to Egypt, because King Herod was seeking to take the life of the child. How was the world different after Bethlehem? We had that moment when the angels sang to the shepherds, when they came and worshiped the child. There was the great star that arose in the east, the wise men that came to see the baby. But then the angels left. The star faded away. And life just kind of went back seemingly like it was. Maybe kind of like our lives on Christmas, you know? The decorations are down. They are, aren't they? I've still got my tree up, too. And we still have this tree. It's nice that we can kind of hang on to the Christmas glow for a while. But then, after a short while, everything just kind of goes back to normal. And no matter how much we sing about joy to the world and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, pretty soon the news is just the same old, same old. Violence does not take a holiday. Poverty and war are not abolished. And there is so much in the world, in so much in our lives that is not peace. Trouble, illness, death do not take a holiday. What difference really did Christmas make? Actually, when you think about it, Christmas made some things worse. Mary and Joseph could not go back to their home, could not go back to Nazareth. They had to flee to a foreign land. King Herod sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. And in order to kill the baby Jesus, he ordered that all of the baby boys, 2 years old and younger, be killed. And it says there was a voice heard, Rhema, weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, for they are no more. What difference does Bethlehem make? When you look at Scripture, you find that in some very real ways, Jesus does not make a difference in people's lives. He tells the story about two men who built their houses. One built his house on the rock, and one built his house on the sand. But in one sense, those lives were exactly the same. The floods came into both lives. The floods struck at both houses. Trouble comes to everyone, whether they are a follower of Christ or not. The only difference is one had put his house on a solid foundation of rock, not sand, and he could stand it when the floods came. And yes, we also find that when Jesus comes, not only does sometimes life stay the same, sometimes life does get worse. Sometimes life is more difficult for those who answer the call of God. That's always been the case. Even when you look into the Old Testament story of Moses, when he had received the call from the burning bush, and God said, "You go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." And Moses went to Pharaoh and delivered the word of God. So the word of God is, "Let my people go." What did Pharaoh do? Did he immediately say, "Of course, go with my blessings"? No. His first reaction was not only to say no, but to make life more difficult for the people of God. He said, "In the past, I supplied straw for you to make bricks with. Not going to do that anymore. You're going to have to gather your own straw to make bricks in order to build my monuments, my pyramids." And the people of Israel begin to complain. "You know, Moses, you've come to deliver the word of God, come to deliver the word that God was going to deliver us from slavery, but you've only made things worse for us." After Bethlehem, not only do things not change, many of them, sometimes when things do change, they change for the worse. This Jesus that comes in our lives can turn our lives upside down, can make our lives more complicated. Is there anything that changes at all as a result of Bethlehem? Well, yes, there are. And sometimes the changes are so subtle, we might not even notice them. But brothers and sisters, there are things that definitely change as a result of Bethlehem, as a result of Christmas. Harold Kushner has written, "Religion is not primarily a set of beliefs, a collection of prayers, or a series of rituals. Religion is first and foremost a way of seeing. It can't change the facts about the world we live in, but it can change the way we see those facts. And that in itself can often make a real difference." Christmas makes a difference in how we look at things, at how we see things. Kushner writes, he says, "I think of a man in my congregation whose wife left him and ran off with her lover. As you might imagine, the rejection crushed him, leaving him feeling unlovable." And Kushner writes, "He came to see me once a week for more than a month. And each time he came to my office, he showed the hallmarks of serious depression. He shuffled into the room, eyes downcast, handshake limp. His voice was so low as to be barely audible, and I frequently had to ask him to repeat what he had said. And no matter what I said to him, he exuded an air of despair and hopelessness. Then one evening, when he showed up for his appointment, the knock on the door was loud and firm. His posture was erect. His eyes sparkled. I could have guessed what happened before he told me. I bet you can guess, too. He had met someone. A woman who found him attractive and compassionate. And suddenly, the world looked different to him. It was the same world he had been complaining about for 6 weeks. But now he saw it with different eyes. He saw it in a different way." You know, those wise men that returned home by a different way, those shepherds that went back to their sheep, Mary and Joseph that went back to Egypt. In so many ways, life was exactly the same. But they saw that same reality through new eyes. Things cannot look the same when once you've heard the angels sing. Things cannot look the same when you have seen the star. Things cannot look the same when you've seen the babe of Bethlehem. Things cannot look the same when you've been to Calvary and know that He died for you and your sins. Things cannot look the same when you have been to the tomb and found it empty, when you've heard the words, "He is not here. He is risen as He said." Things are the same, but things look so different. We see things through new eyes. That's one thing that Bethlehem changes. But not the only thing. There was once a woman who wanted peace in the world and peace in her heart, but she was very frustrated. The world seemed to be falling apart, and her personal life wasn't that great either. And one day she decided to go shopping. I guess that makes us feel better sometimes, doesn't it, to go shopping? And she went to the mall and walked into one of the stores. And she was surprised to see Jesus behind the counter. She knew it was Jesus because he looked just like the paintings she'd seen in museums and in devotional books. And finally she got up her nerve and asked, "Excuse me, but are you Jesus?" "I am." "Do you work here?" "In a way, I own the store." "Oh, what do you sell here?" "Just about everything," Jesus replied. "Feel free to walk up and down the aisles, make a list, see what it is you want, and then come back and I'll see what I can do for you." Well, she did just that. She walked up and down the aisles, writing furiously. There was peace on earth. No more war. No hunger or poverty. There was peace in families. Harmony. No dissension. No more drugs. There was careful use of resources. And by the time she got back to the counter, she had a long list. And Jesus looked over the list and smiled at her and said, "No problem." And then he bent down behind the counter and he picked out all sorts of things and finally stood up and laid out the packets on the counter. "What are these?" the woman asked. "Seed packets," Jesus answered. "This is a catalog store." "You mean I don't get the finished product?" "No. This is a place of dreams. You come and see what it looks like, and I give you the seeds. You go home and plant the seeds. You water them and nurture them and help them to grow. And someday, someone will reap the benefits. Maybe you, but maybe not you at all. Maybe somebody else." "Oh," she said. And she left the store without buying anything. When Jesus grew up, he talked about seeds. He said the kingdom of God is like seeds. Starts out really small. You put those seeds in the ground, and at first, it seems like nothing is happening at all. Nothing changes. Nothing is different. But he says, even though you can't see it, know something is happening. Something is going on there underneath the surface, hidden to your eyes. That seed is sprouting. Roots are taking hold and spreading. And in a while, you're going to see that first shoot above the surface. And it's going to grow and grow, and it's going to bring forth a great harvest. But not at first. Right after Bethlehem, it seems nothing has changed. Nothing is different. But don't you believe it? A seed has been planted. And that seed can and will make all the difference. difference in the world. And invites us to go and scatter the seed of the Word, to water it and nurture it, knowing that one day the harvest will come. What the angels promised will be true, will be fulfilled, and His kingdom will come. If there be any here whose seeking has brought them to the Christ child, and you have reached the point where you would like to acknowledge Him as your personal Savior and Lord, we invite you to come and to make that proclamation by your coming to the front of the church. As we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, verses 1 through 3.